Yeah, you're right. I was way too fast counting down.
Hi, everybody.
Wherever
What
you
com
are. Go
whether
ahead,
it
Evan.
be yeah, for context about just then, he was trying to count down for the start, but he was counting a bit fast, that's all. And
I don't know what you mean. Wasn't fast by any.
I've
Nope. It was exactly on point.
No.
So what, you want to introduce us today?
Hi.
This is.
I'm going to ask Dad episode whatever we're on.
I think it's 10. This is the I think
Ten.
this is the 10th episode. I could be wrong, it might be 9, but I'm leaning towards it's 10. I can check. Can you still see me?
I can.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, this is technically episode 10, and one of them was like an extra episode. But yeah, this is 10.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I'm today we're on help. Today we're doing help, or today our topic is healthcare.
Healthcare. So many
Healthcare.
different things to talk about in that. What questions do you have about healthcare?
Why is the American healthcare so diff this system so different from others around the world?
In what ways is it different?
Well, A, there's a aspect of paying the hospital bill. Like, in a lot of places, it's free.
Okay, so you mean like in terms of universal health care versus the system in which we have to pay for health care?
Yes, why is that?
That's the
Why do you
structure
think?
we have. I'm not gonna lie, I think the structure is absolutely the most ridiculous possible thing they could have cobbled together for health care. I don't know that there's a country that has a purely capitalist form of healthcare. But I do know that there are countries that have, universal healthcare in which the government subsidizes healthcare through taxes, right? But ours is like this cobbled mishmash of capitalism and government. So it just like nothing works. And it just there's more and more layers of things, so it just becomes more and more expensive. Personally, I think you have to go one way or the other. I don't think a mishmash the way we have it is the right thing. So I think you either go full government, single payer. The only person that makes a payment to any healthcare is an entity,
But
or you create an entirely free capital space where, here's an example, right? When you go to Applebee's or some restaurant, can't tell I have Applebee's on the mind, can you? So if you go to some restaurant and you order food, do you get to know how much that food costs?
yes, you do.
Okay, that's not true at a hospital. You can't go in and be like, "Hey, I broke my leg. What's it cost to have my leg fixed?" You don't get to know what the cost is until after the fact. So you are now stuck. It's not, it'd be like going to a restaurant, ordering food, and when they come out with the bill, you're like, "Oh, I didn't know it was going to be that much. I wouldn't have come here." Obviously, if your leg's broken, go to the hospital. So you don't get to know the cost of service up front. So they're like, if it were a capitalist structure, it could provide competition, driving down costs. If it was a single payer structure, it could be that that single payer is big enough that it can set the expectation of cost, you're not getting paid unless you charge this much for that service. It's the only price we will pay for this service. So one or the other, right, where the government tells you what you're going to get paid for doing services as a healthcare provider, you as a healthcare provider get to decide what you charge for services, and it becomes kind of like restaurants, right? Like there's the McDonald's, there's the Applebee's, and then there's the, you know, fine dining steakhouses. You're going to pay a little bit more as you move up, but you're going to get a different experience and quality and things like that. So if you have a high level of skill in, I don't know, let's say nose reconstruction surgery, like you could be the guy that just got out of school and you're charging people like $50 a nose job, or you can be the guy that's been doing it for 20 years and you charge $1,000 a nose job because you have all the experience and skills and things that come along with that. So it's that doesn't exist. You go to the hospital, you get taken care of, and then they send you a bill for whatever it is. I've seen some things on my own bills that I don't remember what it was, but in my head, I'm imagining it was like a tongue depressor, right? Like those little wooden popsicle sticks.
Yes, yeah.
Or the fat popsicle sticks, I guess. And I want to say it was like $25 on my medical bill. And I don't know that it was a tongue depressor. I just that's what I'm imagining. It was something like that simple that I was then charged $25 for a Band-Aid or something like that, right? It was just like, why don't I go buy you 50 packs of Band-Aids from the dollar store and I'll bring them to you?
Well, those are exactly medical grade.
Right.
That's the excuse they're going to come up with.
Yeah, but still, $25. It seems like there's probably a huge markup against the actual cost of that because you know the insurance is going to pay it.
Which means if you don't have insurance, you are... if you don't have insurance, the phrase "I'm going to call a hospital" becomes a threat.
The doctor thought spider bite. He couldn't find where a spider bit me. But this arm, one time, I changed the oil on my car, and when I went to work, my arm kind of got sore. And as I was working, my arm puffed up. It was huge on the back side of my arm. So finally, I worked through it for a little while. It wasn't it wasn't burnt on the outside, but it was hot, like feverish hot. Like
definitely,
my body was hot, right?
Inflammation.
Yeah. At the end of my shift, I worked through my shift, and finally at the end, I'm like, I don't think I worked for the last hour. I went to my boss, I'm gonna go have this checked out. So I went to the ER. Went through, I want to say they gave me a tetanus shot because that had been a number of years. And I think he gave me something in case it was a spider bite. Something to help with the inflammation. Antibiotic, I don't remember. I got the bill for that and it was $1,000? I want to say it was $1,000. And I went into their office. I think this was before you were born. Maybe your mother was pregnant with you. Maybe. It was probably about that time. It was definitely that house we lived in. I remember going to the hospital and sitting down with the people. What can I do to, work with you guys? Because I want to pay my bill, but, it's $1,000. And the lady hands me a little stack of paperwork and she goes, fill all this out and you only have to pay 10% since you don't have insurance. I was like, wait, I only have to give you $100 for this $1,000 bill? And she's like, yeah. And I went, how does that work? Why are you charging me $1,000 if you can do this for $100? And she tells me, because if you would have had insurance, we would have charged you $10,000. I was like, wait a minute. So somebody that comes in here with $10,000, but with insurance, gets charged $10,000, covers 10 of these procedures for people that don't have insurance. Well, 9 other procedures, right? Insurance was paying for 9 other people to get the same kind of treatment done because one person had it done. I shook my head, like, okay, I'll go fill out the paperwork. I filled out the paperwork, I paid him $100, and everything was fine. And I was just kind of like, this is broken. Like, that seemed so crazy to me that that's how our healthcare was being charged. I don't think I've ever heard of anything making that. It was the only time I ever heard of or experienced that. I don't know if other people have had the same kind of thing and don't talk about it, but it was like, I was so blown away that they would just charge the insurance 10 times as much so that I could pay 10 times less. Like, just move the decimal point over and call it good, I guess.
Yeah, that's just so confusing. It's partially one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this subject. How close, but also, do you think the CDC and the big hospitals are closely entwined, like how the food industry is intertwined with the FDA and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, definitely revolving doors of like people from pharmaceutical companies going into the.
No, I'm not talking about pharmaceutical companies here. I'm talking about the hospitals themselves.
I don't know about hospitals. Probably. Like, I'm sure there's some of it, at the very least. Because, like, you need expert opinions, but you also need, I don't know, somebody to ferret out people that are just trying to make money. Like, somebody with some... you know, personal morals that is going to say, that doesn't make sense financially. Why are you trying to do that?
Yeah, you can't, one or the other is where corruption breeds. And that's why.
Well, what you got?
I don't know. It's probably going to end up being a short episode unless you have some really big questions for me.
What do you think the most important aspect of healthcare is? What's the best thing you can do for yourself in terms of healthcare?
In our system, have insurance, really.
Fair enough. Do you want a doctor that right away just gives you pills for whatever symptoms you have?
I'm not going to end up trusting the said doctor, really. Like, how do you know I read the immune system book, I read it. But, like, I know that fever is essentially our body trying to overwhelm viruses and bacteria, pathogens and stuff. That's what it is. That's what it is. So, I know fevers can be annoying to deal with, but also, it's a pretty important part of your immune system. And it's all in the... So, like, sure, it sucks, but also I'll get better sooner it'll take longer for me to get better if I take these meds for my fever. So, do I or do I not, essentially?
Mm-hmm. You know me, when in doubt, sweat it out. Let's pull others on, go clean the house. my big things I've come to is take care of yourself. Like, your body, even the book you referenced, right? The Immune System by Ferguson, I think it's pronounced.
Yeah.
Even in there, I think the video we watched that they had, like, your body has the natural immunities in it to just about everything. It's a matter of how quickly it can sort itself out to fight whatever it's fighting.
It's trying to, essentially,
Your body needs all of the things it needs for that system to be as robust as possible. So if you're not taking care of your body so that your immune system is robust, then, I don't know. To me, it starts with taking care of it, right? You know, my own personal beliefs, like the body is the temple, and you have to take care of that. You know, that's you start there. What was the last time you saw me be sick? And now, of course, because I said that out loud, I'm going to get sick. Where's wood? Knock on the wood. He told me, like, think about it. When was the last time you saw me be sick? Like, where I was just, like, down and out laid. Have I been sick since COVID?
No, I think the last time you've been that sick is when you had COVID.
The last time I had COVID, I think. I think... I don't remember having a fever since then. So that's been, when was the last time I had it? I had it November 2020, and then I had it again, I think, late 2021. So we're at least 3 years since I've had a fever. I feel like there was probably one or two in there somewhere, but like, I don't get sick very often. But I also, like, I started eating way healthier. I started working out regularly. Like, I feel my body's way, it just feels healthier because I take care of it differently. Like, the fruits and vegetables that we usually have around the house, you know, for the long time there, I was eating salads for lunch every day. I wasn't eating a bunch of carbs and all that kind of stuff. Like, it made a big difference into how my body felt. And because of that, like, no, there was something in there somewhere I went to the doctor for. I had the eye thing. That wasn't a fever. I had the muscle stiffness that I went looking for something to help with how bunched up some muscles were. Because heat and hot baths and massages weren't doing anything for it. So I wound up getting something to help with that. I think, yeah, I don't go to the hospital, or I don't go to the doctor even very often. I need to start a little bit more, because I'm coming up on 40.
Expensive? It's going to be expensive, I imagine.
Well, there's, after 40, there's some, like, routine things that you should have done that they suggest to stay ahead of potential issues that occur generally after the age of 40. Ask Cody about it one of these days. He's 40. What was it that made you come up with the healthcare question?
Honestly, I don't remember really.
I do. What was it? It was when that CEO got shot.
How did I come up with that?
Yeah, you, like, that was going on. You and I were talking about that happening. We watched some news segment on YouTube or something like that, and you said we should add healthcare to the list.
I heard a healthcare CEO, and I was like, that's a good idea.
Well, that was still an interesting like thing, because we haven't heard anything about it. Like, nothing has been in the, like, I've not seen anything in the news since that guy got, like, moved from one jail to another. I've not heard anything about what's going on with any of it. It's kind of bizarre, actually. I'm going to look in and see what's going on with that. But that was I think what it prompted you to ask for, or suggested to you to put this on the list, is that idea of, like, what drove somebody to kill somebody, right? Like, what is it about healthcare?
It might not have been actually, I mean, we don't actually know why he did it. It might not have been about him being a healthcare CEO. It might have just been about him having that kind of money.
There is a lot of
debate
information. Like, I've not heard him say his motives, right? However, the casings were found to have words scribed on them. I think it's deny, defend. And there's a third one. I don't remember what it is. But it's from the people's point of view, it seems to be what the health insurance companies do in order to not pay health insurance costs. Like, oh, that's a, there's a story out there where a doctor who was scrubbing in, like he was ready to start a surgery, and the health insurance company called him to ask him if that person really needed to stay overnight after this procedure. And the doctor told them, like, in the best interest of my patient, they need to stay in the hospital for a day or two after this surgery. That is in the best interest of their health. So the doctor did that. And then the insurance company denied it because they didn't think it was necessary. So they didn't cover the hospital charges for the night stayed at the hospital. So that's where the frustration is, because you have insurance companies deciding that they know better than the doctor that's performing things on the patient.
I know it's pretty expensive, but it's literally what your client is paying for.
Yep. But when you're in an organization that has to answer to your shareholders and profitability, you find ways to save money everywhere you can. And you have two things about this going, right?
Be privately traded then.
You can only, like, there's some places you can only charge a maximum premium. And that's what a lot of, like, I don't know if you remember when Obamacare came out, the Affordable Care Act, right? A lot of that had to do with premiums and deductibles, which is me as the purchaser of health insurance. That's the portion I pay. And then once you meet a deductible, how it all works is a lot of, like, it's supposed to limit my cost. So they're only allowed to get so much money. And our nation is increasingly unhealthy, which means there are increasing expenditures of healthcare. So the insurance company has got limited on what they're allowed to charge. And then you get an explosion of costs in these payouts because of an unhealthy population. So normally you come across somebody that's, hallmarks of unhealthy living, right? Obesity, cigarettes, some of these things, they've got I think cholesterol or whatever they consider to be risk factors, right? Despite risk factors, the Affordable Care Act forced insurance company to take higher risk people on, again, without charging higher premiums, if I recall it correctly. Like, you have to take these high risk individuals, and then because they had high risk individuals, their tolerance for how much expenditure they could have was a lot lower. And because of that, they had to try to balance their books and profitabilities for the stakeholders. And it turned into this lawfare of denying claims in any way they could possibly. And it just, I don't even have insurance right now, because to me, it's just not worth, what is available to me is not worth the expenditure. I want to save $170 a paycheck just for me to have insurance. And that's for a deductible of like $6,000. So if I get hurt and it costs less than $6,000, I have to pay that myself.
Not worth it.
Not worth it.
Not worth it in the long run.
But you know what? I'll put the $6,000 aside, because most likely, sure, something major could happen to me. Most likely, it's going to be like a $1,000 expense. Spider bites. But that was like, that's where a lot of that ire, like you see people like cheering the guy on for shooting somebody. And like, that's where that anger came from, is people have had so many claims denied when their doctors are like, no, they absolutely need this. And then the insurance company goes, eh, we're not so sure. So there's just a lot of anger at the healthcare system because it's not doing anybody any good anymore. And then you've got distrust. I mean, after the pandemic, the distrust of healthcare, like people were thought to be crazy when they were, you know, on the fence about vaccines before the pandemic. After the pandemic, it's so much more talked about to be vaccine skeptics. And, you know, RFK is one of my favorite people. And now he got confirmed today, as we're recording this a couple hours ago, he was confirmed to the HHS secretary. So now we've got somebody who's been, he's not anti-vax by any means. He's a vaccine skeptic, always has been. He just wants, like, what are these things doing? Where's the data? Let's lay this out bare. What are these things doing? And we've talked about the vaccines. But then the COVID era came through, and like now there's more people skeptical about it. Because people just don't like being forced. Like in America, we're not really used to being told what to do. It's not how anything was really put together. So when we got told we had to have vaccines, and it became this huge societal changing moment, on the backside of it, you had a lot of people go, what the F just happened? I'm not sure I trust you anymore. My doctor told me to wear a mask, and now they're saying they were pointless. Yeah, and people are starting to go, can we trust anything? So now go ahead.
Short answer, no. at least without questioning it a bit.
And like the biggest thing is we live in the most advanced knowledge base ever available to human beings. When I was your age, we had encyclopedias. It was like 28 books. If you wanted to know something, you had to go find the book the information was in and read about it. But I take that back. We had the internet, but it wasn't quite as robust as you have it now. If I want to learn how nuclear fusion reactors work so that I could build one myself or attempt to, I can find almost all of that information online. I can find out how to build a like just wild things by looking up online how to do it. Can I get my hands on the materials? That's another question. But
eBay exists, so yeah.
We live in this world where you can go find information, and you can go find multiple viewpoints of that information. So why wouldn't you do that for yourself when presented with something by somebody that you're not sure you can trust anymore?
Well, back during COVID, people still felt like they could trust doctors.
I think COVID broke the trust in just about every institution we have. Especially for like my generation, a lot of people my age that I know, our trust was shattered. Not that we had a lot. I mean, I remember growing up, let's see, it would have been 99, so I would have been 13, literally your age, right? This coming New Year's Eve, this entire year of your life, hearing about how Y2K is going to destroy the banking system. For an entire year, we listened to the news talk about Y2K is going to destroy the computers, the banks are going to freak out, all of our money is going to disappear. Right, because when they made computers, they didn't program them.
It only tracked the year with two digits. Nowadays, yeah. It tracks all four.
Right. The panic of the year was we have to update these things, and then shortly after that, it was 9/11, and we had to go to war because of the weapons of mass destruction that they never found. And then it was swine flu, and then it was bird flu, and then it was SARS, and then then it was the housing crisis, and then it was the banking crisis, and then there was this internet bubble burst. Like, it was just all of these things, and we kind of go, Yeah, but what are you guys doing that makes all of this happen? Like, what's going on? So this distrust is just built over years of, like, nothing makes sense anymore because you tell us these things and then it doesn't happen. 2012, anybody remember the Mayan calendar?
Yeah, it wasn't actually, they didn't actually predict the world there would end. It's kind of like, the switch from BC to AD. Kind of like, that was just the end of the era. They would have made a new calendar for the next, or reused the one they already had. That's essentially what.
You want to hear my crazy conspiracy theory on it?
What?
The Mayan calendar predicted when reality would split in two.
Because we discovered the Higgs boson?
They discovered the Higgs boson, and that was when Mandela effects became a reality. We shifted into another universe. That's why I think Fruit of the Loom had a cornucopia behind it, but apparently it never has.
Or maybe they're just changing to more minimalistic designs. Maybe.
No, like if you look it up, like they say we never did that. Like I remember hearing about Nelson Mandela's death, and you know what I said? I thought he was dead. And there's a lot of people, like, that's where the Mandela effect gets its name, right? There's a lot of people in my generation that are like, he wasn't dead. I thought he was dead. Like, didn't that happen already? But also, there's another theory that we switched from the Gregorian calendar to the Julian calendar. And because of that, we're actually off a number of years from the Mayan calendar. Because it was written so much longer before the Julian calendar, that it would be this year sometime, May 26th, I think. I was reading it somewhere. Anyways, way off topic, but I'm a crazy conspiracy nut these days, so.
Yeah, that's all for today, I think.
Turned into the guy that 10 years ago, I was like, wow, you're crazy, anti-vax. Nutbag, but now I'm that guy, so here we are.
Grow as a person,
man. Except that you might not see the world the right way. Be open-minded to what there is available around you. Yeah, that's all I got. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Audible, Amazon.
No, I don't think we're on Audible yet.
Well, I think if you're on Amazon, like Amazon kicks it to Audible, I don't think we're on Apple. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I don't think, yeah, that's what I did. That, yeah, probably.
And real quick, Evan, we in the vaccine episode, we talked about something about cameras.
Oh, yeah, and if you haven't watched or heard the vaccine episode, you totally should.
Oh yeah, go check it out. I just want to shout out at haveitup123 on our YouTube channel. They commented from vaccines all the way to theories of gravity. The trains of thought in these shows are fun rides. And yes, the reflectors inside a camera are rectangular. If I were to guess about the shape of the lenses, they are curved and round to not only take in the most light possible, but to mimic the shape of an aperture or opening of the lens, which will alter how much peripheral light is allowed. A narrow aperture allows light primarily from the center of the lens, while a wide aperture allows light from the entire lens. The mechanics behind a camera are pretty fun and interesting. I thought I'd share that with you because I saw that.
I gotta go look at that.
Yeah. Fun thing to, like, go learn, man. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a great day. Okay, boy. He's gone. We've lost him.
I'm going on a journey.
Do it up, man. Toodles.